Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're here to cut through the noise, give you the insights you need, tailored just for you. Today, we're getting into something really fascinating. It takes us way back, thousands of years actually, but it feels incredibly relevant, almost regent for today. Our source is the Way of Wisdom Bible Study book with video access. It's a deep look at the Book of Proverbs, led by a great team, Jen Wilkin, Ruth Cho Simons, Kelly Minter, among others. And our mission really is simple. Pull out the practical stuff, the actionable wisdom from these ancient words that you can actually use in your busy modern life. Think of it like getting the key insights without, you know, having to wade through dense theology or feeling totally overwhelmed. So what's the heart of it? Well, the study kicks off with this really powerful theme. Proverbs paints this picture, right? Godly wisdom, that's a path. It leads to life, to flourishing. But then there's the flip side, worldly folly, chasing, fleeting pleasures, earthly stuff.
Yeah.
That path leads, well, the text says, to the grave. Pretty stark. So every day, basically, we face this choice. Are we going for the true riches of God's instruction or the fool's gold, the temporary stuff? And the big question for us today is, how on earth do these ancient words speak to us right now in the 21st century? Is it still relevant? Okay, let's unpack this a bit. The study sets up this foundational idea right away. A contrast, two very different ways to go. It almost feels like watching a play, you know, with these two main characters showing us the options.
Exactly. And what's really illuminating, especially in those first nine chapters of Proverbs, is how they build this essential framework. They do it using these powerful figures, Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly.
Right. Not real women, but personifications.
Precisely. They're compelling symbols designed to vividly show us the undeniable upside of seeking true wisdom and the, well, the serious danger in rejecting it. Lady Wisdom is always calling out, offering this path to a full life, you know, purpose, health and relationships, peace. Lady Folly, on the other hand, she tempts with the quick fix, the easy pleasure, looks attractive, maybe easier at first, but ultimately leads to ruin, regret.
It's striking how that mirrors, you know, modern ideas about impulse control versus long-term goals, immediate gratification versus delayed reward. How does the study connect that spiritual choice to our sort of everyday wiring?
That's a really good point. The study suggests that while, yeah, we might use psychological terms today, Proverbs presents it fundamentally as a moral and spiritual decision. It affects everything. Folly's temptations. They often tap into our basic impulses, instant pleasure, easy money, maybe the thrill of gossip, that kind of thing. But wisdom. She calls for self-control, discipline, focusing on long-term character. It's less about a quick win, more about building a life through consistently good choices. The flourishing it talks about isn't just one thing happening. It's the result, the cumulative effect of choosing wisdom again and again, which the study frames as aligning with God's way.
So these two women, these choices, we encounter them all the time, even if we don't label them like that.
Constantly. Every decision, big or small, seems to push us one way or the other. That's the core message.
Okay, that makes sense. And I like how it moves from these big ideas into really practical stuff. Like our words. It's not just philosophy. It gets into the nitty-gritty, starting with something we use constantly. How we talk.
Oh, absolutely. The study spends a good amount of time on wisdom in our words. And it's critical, right? Words have immense power. It makes clear this isn't about, you know, self-help tricks to manipulate people or just talk your way into getting what you want. No, it's about aligning our communication, what we say, how we say it, even when we stay quiet, with a higher standard of character. Truthfulness, humility, thinking before speaking. The goal isn't just personal gain. It's aimed at a greater good, reflecting this deeper moral compass, which ultimately leads to well-being for us and others. It turns words into, like, tools for life.
So it's more than just avoiding swear words or something. It's actively using words that build up, that bring life. What specific dangers does Proverbs warn about with foolish words? And conversely, what does wise speech actually sound like?
Proverbs is incredibly down to earth here. It warns constantly about gossip, slander, speaking too quickly without thinking, words that cause conflict or deceive. It uses really vivid images, like saying a gossip separates close friends. You feel the impact.
Yeah.
Wise speech, though, that's characterized by truth, kindness, encouragement, giving advice at the right time. It means knowing when to speak, what to say, how to say it all, aiming for the other person's good. So, yeah, active listening, offering comfort. Maybe even just holding your tongue when you're angry or feeling proud. It's a discipline, for sure, but it builds peace and trust.
That's challenging, but also kind of freeing, focusing on character over just outcome. And it flows naturally into the next area, right? Wisdom and friendship and neighborliness.
It does, absolutely. It's all connected. The principles in Proverbs for handling friendships, dealing with neighbors, they echo timeless virtues. You see parallels with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, things highlighted later in the New Testament too. These ancient sayings offer a kind of blueprint, really, for building healthy, life-giving relationships with close friends, yeah, but also just people in our community. And it makes you wonder, how do these principles hold up today, especially in our digital world where neighborliness can feel, well, different? And the temptation for foolish words is everywhere.
That's a huge question. The anonymity online. It doesn't cancel the need for wisdom, does it? Maybe it makes it even more important. Where's the biggest risk for folly online based on these principles?
I think a big one is reacting instantly, you know, without that pause. Or engaging in criticism, maybe hiding behind a screen name, something Proverbs warns strongly against. What used to be quiet gossip can go viral now, causing huge damage.
Right.
And the study stresses that real friendship, the kind Proverbs values, is built on loyalty, honesty, not just online likes or surface-level agreement. It calls us to be friends who stick closer than a brother, offering support, maybe even hard truths sometimes, but always sticking by them. That kind of loyalty, online or off, that's a mark of wisdom.
That's powerful. Wisdom isn't just for face-to-face, and it extends further, too, right into our homes and work lives. The study talks about wisdom at home, parenting, marriage, caring for older parents, even this idea of being spiritual mothers.
Exactly. And spiritual mothers, the study clarifies, isn't just about literal parenting. It's about mentorship, investing wisdom into others, nurturing them, regardless of age or blood relation. It mirrors that nurturing side of wisdom itself.
Interesting.
So someone in the community might share experience, offer guidance, just listen, acting like a wise guide. Yeah. And yeah, for marriage, it emphasizes mutual respect, faithfulness, love. For parenting, consistent guidance, discipline with affection, modeling wisdom yourself. These aren't just ideals. They're daily choices that build strong homes, strong communities.
It's so comprehensive. And then it flows right into wisdom in work, wealth, and leadership. We often think stewardship just means money, but this goes way beyond that, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. That's a key insight. The central idea is stewarding all the resources we've been given. Yes, money is part of it, but it's also our time, our jobs, our talents, our abilities, even our relationships. The focus is on using all these things wisely, recognizing they're entrusted to us, not just ours, to exploit for personal gain.
So like managing time well, developing talents.
Exactly. Stewarding time means prioritizing, avoiding laziness, using moments with purpose. Stewarding talents means using our gifts for good, not just for ourselves. It shifts our mindset from ownership to responsibility, calling for diligence, integrity, generosity in everything we do.
That's a challenge in today's world, isn't it? Very individualistic, often competitive workplaces. How does this idea of stewardship and the greater good fit with the pressure to succeed, to make profit?
That's a really crucial tension. The study suggests that, look, aiming for excellence, even profit, isn't inherently wrong or foolish, but how you get there matters enormously. Wisdom in work means integrity, treating people fairly, employees, clients, recognizing that your work impacts the wider community. It's about creating value, not just extracting it. A wise leader, according to Proverbs in this study, shows humility, seeks advice, serves others, rather than just hoarding power. And that long-term flourishing Proverbs talks about. Often it comes from building trust, a reputation for diligence that's more sustainable than quick, unethical gains. It truly touches every part of life.
It really does seem to. You know, many of us think wisdom is something we get through hard work, studying, experience, digging deep intellectually, like a personal achievement. But the source material, this study, it points to something different, deeper, beyond just our own effort.
Yes, that's a critical distinction the study makes. It emphasizes that true wisdom isn't just something you can, you know, dig deep, train hard, and go get purely through willpower or intellect. Instead, it grows as we cultivate a deeper connection. As the study puts it, as we love and follow Jesus, the one in whom all wisdom is found.
So less about striving on my own.
And more about relationship. It shifts the focus from this individualistic, pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of effort. To something relational, even dependent, like learning a complex skill from a master. The wisdom flows through that connection. So pursuing wisdom becomes less about just gathering facts and more about aligning our lives with this, well, this ultimate source of truth and goodness. And that really changes how we pursue it daily, doesn't it? If it's not just about effort, but about connection.
That's a huge shift.
Yeah.
Yeah. From a task I have to complete to a relationship I need to cultivate. If it's not just what I know or do, but who I'm aligned with, then, yeah, the whole pursuit looks different. Less like ticking boxes, more like ongoing character change.
Exactly. The study argues that real wisdom isn't just a list of rules or clever sayings. It's this living understanding that comes from deep alignment. Think of reading a recipe versus actually learning to cook alongside a chef. That knowledge becomes part of you. It's intuitive, transformative.
Right.
And this relational approach means humility is essential, recognizing we don't have all the answers ourselves, but we can continually draw from that source. It fosters teachability, dependence qualities. Proverbs itself really values for growth.
That's incredibly helpful. And it feels like all these threads, words, relationships, work, the source of wisdom, they all come together at the end, right? With Proverbs 31.
They absolutely do.
Yeah.
While people often zoom in on the virtuous woman aspect of Proverbs 31, the study points out something broader. It argues that this chapter actually captures the main idea of the book of Proverbs as a whole. It's a synthesis.
A summary of everything.
Pretty much. It pulls together all the themes. Wise words, managing a home, work ethic, strong relationships, stewardship, inner character, driving outward action. You see this figure speaking wisely, managing diligently, caring for family and community, acting with integrity. It's a vibrant, living portrait of wisdom in action. It powerfully sums up what a life guided by God's wisdom looks like in all its dimensions.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? This deep dive into Proverbs through the way of wisdom shows it's not just some dusty old text. It's a living guide, offering clear paths to, well, a truly flourishing life. In your words, your relationships, home, work, leadership, everywhere. And it's not just about learning stuff. It's a journey of alignment, connecting with a deeper relational wisdom that changes you from the inside out.
Right. And this wisdom, as the study shows so well, genuinely leads to that abundant life, to healthy relationships, a fulfilling journey through all of life's ups and downs. It really encourages us to keep engaging with these principles, letting them shape our choices day by day. And as we do that, we develop this deeper understanding that makes a difference in every decision, guiding us toward real flourishing, purpose, and connection.
So here's something to think about. If choosing this way of wisdom truly leads to flourishing, to purpose, peace, strong relationships, what's one small, everyday choice you could make today? One step onto that path, knowing it's not just about what you do, but about that deeper alignment, that connection. That's definitely something worth pondering.